Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's go back to
2009
with Squidge. Let's look at the
Lions tour
again with Squidge.
Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to the Squidge Rugby Lions tour retrospective, the podcast that somehow has a less confusing name, even though I'm still confused by it, than the actual fixture we're talking about today, which is the Lions against the Lions, who had to be known as the Golden Lions in order to try and avoid confusion, which still happened anyway.
So when we call this the Lions tour retrospective, which Lions are we referring to?
We're referring to the Lions.
Okay. So we're referring to the touring Lions or the toured Lions? The Lions getting toured?
The Lions.
Oh, the Lions.
We're referring to the Lions. Yeah.
I see. The ones that have red and white on their kit.
No, you know the Lions.
Yeah.
You know the Lions. When I said the Lions, yeah.
But you know, in
I'm not lying to you.
Oh, you're a shit. You are. So there's the Lions in this this game. There's the Lions that play in red and white, and there's also
there's
the Lions that play in red and white. The Lions.
Yes. Yeah. So it's the Lions that play in red and white.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Thank you for clarifying that for me.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the Lions that play in white and red. So, yeah, the Golden Lions against the Lions. Yeah. We were, at one point, going to have a guy who played in this game as a guest on this, but that's not happened. So, instead, we have two people who, instead, watch this after school in an evening, which I think is just as insightful when it comes to thinking back on an old rugby match.
Yeah, I like to think so. I mean, people are listening, right? So, or are they? Are they?
We're not the ones to say. So, this is the Lions' second game on tour. This is the second game they played. It's the first one against a proper team because the Royal 15 that they played first time were a scrat side put together to play the Lions. They were kind of invitational 15.
I mean, you say proper team. The Golden Lions don't actually exist.
But they also do, you know, like they have won things in the past.
No. They exist as the Lions.
Yes. They did have to change their name in order to not be also called the Lions because otherwise we just wouldn't know who was playing for the Lions and who was playing for the Lions.
But you know what? To avoid confusion and to honour the tradition, we'll just call them the Lions for the sake of this.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what we should do.
British and Irish Lions is a bit long-winded, so should we just call them the Lions?
Let's just call them the Lions.
Okay.
Let's call the whole thing off, I say. So, the Lions had a really interesting period coming to this game against the Lions. So, in the lead-up, their coach, Loppy Earloff, which is an excellent name.
That's a hell of a name. Loppy Earloff.
Loppy Earloff. He had basically, there'd been a bunch of shit had happened. He'd been fired.
Okay.
No one quite knew why. The players threatened to strike and miss this game and bunch the Curry Cup when the new coach came in. In the end, that didn't happen. And the only players they were missing were a couple who... So Jacques Ferry was due to play... was withdrawn from this game by the Springboks. And then 2 days before this game, Earl Rose was withdrawn by the Springboks as well. He was due to start.
Which feels mad. Because Earl Rose never won a cap, did he?
He did. He won a handful of caps. Yeah,
okay. For some reason, I had it in my head that he was uncapped the whole time. But it seems bizarre that he was withdrawn. Like, he was that...
Oh, no. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. He's uncapped.
It seems mad to me that he was that wanted by Peter de Villiers that he just said, no, you can't play against... You can't play for the Lions against the Lions.
Yeah. We're not going to let it happen. We're going to withdraw you.
Yeah.
Do you want to know some stats on Earl Rose's career?
Yes.
According to Wikipedia, right?
More than anything.
Teams he's represented, okay?
Yeah.
You've got all these super rugby teams, fine, whatever, grand. But they're national teams, right? Mm-hmm. South Africa is listed.
Yep.
Zero caps between 2008 and 2009.
So he didn't play for South Africa.
He didn't play for South Africa. He played South Africa sevens.
Did he? That seems wrong.
Do you want to know how many appearances he made?
One.
Question mark.
Oh my God.
He played for South Africa under-19s. Do you want to know how many appearances he made?
Dash. Like hyphen.
Question mark.
Okay.
Do you want to know how many games he played for South Africa under-21s?
Quotation marks.
It was, and you'll be amazed to see this. a question mark.
Oh, wow.
Points what a are all question marks in brackets, apart from South Africa, where we know for certain he scored no points.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Because it's quite hard to score points without getting on the field, isn't it?
Yes. Do you want to know some hot, more Earl Rose facts?
Yeah, yeah, loads of them, please.
So, Earl Rose, specifically in 2008, decided to bulk up in a bid to stake a claim for the Lions' fly half position. I don't know which Lions he wanted to play.
Yeah,
I don't know if he played against or
really
for the Lions.
That's a confusing fact, that is.
He told the South African Sports Illustrated,
okay,
where he did a topless photo shoot.
Okay. Well, you did say some hot, sexy Earl Rose stats.
It is as hot and sexy as Earl Rose stats get.
Yeah.
Earl Rose...
Wait, hey. Maybe tell that to Deacon Manu.
Are you saying stat sheets?
I'm talking stat sheets, baby.
Wow. Stat sheets.
Yeah.
Speaking of hobbies such as Deacon Manu and his stat sheets, I am going to ask you to take a guess at Earl Rose's two favourite hobbies.
Oh, okay.
Three favourite hobbies, okay? I've got his three favourite hobbies in front of me. Take a guess.
I'm going to guess that one of them is rugby.
No, rugby's not counted because that's his job now.
Oh, okay.
That's not a hobby anymore.
Ah, got me. I reckon he likes to go fishing.
Fishing is not one of his three hobbies.
Okay, I reckon he likes cage fighting.
Earl Rose does not like cage fighting, as far as I know.
Oh, damn.
Okay, these are the... No, I'm going to give you a hint, right? These are the most... One of them is the most basic rugby player hobby, but the other two are the most basic generic hobbies anyone could ever have.
Okay. How many more guesses have I got?
I'll give you two guesses, one at each of them. What's the most generic rugby player hobby?
Listening to Drake.
You're actually spot on! It's not that, but listening to music, his favourite genre being R&B, is one of his three hobbies.
Okay.
So I'll give you that. I'll give you a point there.
Man loves Drake. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
It's like the captain's challenge. You got one right, so you're going to keep on guessing.
Yeah.
Until you get one wrong.
I reckon he plays the saxophone. No. I think...
Come on. Most basic rugby player hobby.
Most basic rugby player hobby.
What is it? Every rugby player does this as a hobby. Golf. Golf,
yeah.
Right? But do you want some more facts about Earl Rose and golf?
His handicap is... Four?
Nope, better than that. In 2019, video footage emerged showing Rose and a female counterpart colluding to steal golf clubs from bags from members of Stellenbosch Golf Club.
Who was papping Earl Rose post-retirement in 2019?
He was stealing golf clubs from a golf club.
Oh, yeah, hang on a second. Yeah, I totally just, like...
Yeah.
Oversaw that.
Earl Rose and his presumably his partner, either in crime or in life,
yeah,
were... stealing golf clubs on a weekend.
I mean, I imagine, for the record, like, while we're here, like, Earl Rose is married to the game. But carry on.
Obviously. All Black wedding ring. Springbok wedding ring. Doesn't really have the same ring.
No. Especially when he's got
zero. Yeah.
Springbok under 19 wedding ring.
No, they got engaged, but they never got married.
Oh, man.
Because he made the squad. But he never played. Yeah, so... Earl Rose was uncovered to belong to a group that sold second-hand golf equipment online. This is the career he went into after retiring.
That's incredible.
Right, this is 6 years after
he retired.
That
group is now known as Boy Better Know.
Yeah, that's now the Lions. The stolen clubs were returned, but charges laid against Rose, who handed himself over to the police and is appearing in court on charge of theft. I've got no idea how Earl Rose's career of... I've got no. Is Earl Rose in prison?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, I mean, you're listening to the Earl Rose retrospective 2021.
Mate, I had no idea Earl Rose was a mass criminal.
Is Earl Rose in prison?
Oh, I mean, he doesn't seem to be. He was described as the Tiger Woods of rugby. What does that mean?
I mean, that would imply that he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, that was by Pete Davilliers.
To Peter
de Villiers described him as the Earl Rose of rugby in the lead up to this Lions tour.
Well, he is the Earl Rose of rugby, that's for sure. I'm not sure about the Tiger Woods of rugby, but...
Hey, do you know who I think is the Earl Rose of rugby?
Earl Rose's brother?
Yeah,
Jody Rose.
Who played for Romania.
Yeah, we'll get to that on the 2015 retrospective. He's also quite shit.
Should we look at the two teams, the Lions and the Lions?
Yeah, let's look at players who did play in this game and one who didn't.
So
Andre Pretorius played instead for the Lions
at
number 10, the former Springbok And in the other position, it would have played Louis Ludic, future Ulster rugby legend.
Yeah, so Andres, your man Pretorius, played at 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who, the sheer amount of your manning he did when Jamie Roberts was coming down his channel.
For somebody who is like, for a fly half, he's quite, he's decently well built, isn't he?
Yeah,
He's not like one of those tiny tens that you see every now and then.
Yeah.
But he was just so, just could not be arsed with tackling.
Exactly. It wasn't he could, whenever he went in to make a tackle, he was perfectly good at it. You know, he was perfectly solid.
It's not just that he couldn't contain Jamie Roberts on the crash ball. Like, Jamie Roberts sidestepped him at one point.
Yeah, like, he just let Jamie Roberts run straight past him.
Yeah.
It was, I don't fancy this. This isn't a competitive game and they're already 40 points ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not making this tackle. This will hurt.
There are some amazing names of players I've never heard.
Mate.
So, Dusty Noble, who I'm pretty
Dusty
sure
Dusty Noble!
I think he had a stint in Aerosmith. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I was going to say, like, which RPG did Dusty Noble fall out of?
Yeah. There's also Doppies Lagrange, and on the theme of classic rock... You know, when his name came up, I just thought, you know, there's
Doppies Lagrange.
Yeah. Which is, like, I imagine that's who ZZ Top wrote the song about. The former Lions centre, Doppies Lagrange.
There's one on the bench who I will get to later, who comes on quite early on. And I want to talk about him later on. But there's a few more. There's Yonk and Now.
Yeah. Yonk is a great name.
Yonk is a historic thing for us. Because we had a song we'd come up with as, again, I mentioned, I watched this game after getting in. I'd had food tech last period and got in and watched this game afterwards. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being really excited in food tech to go home and watch the Lions.
I did think I cared.
They battered them. Yeah, I was really excited. I spent all day thinking about it. Being really, really excited to watch them play and watch them absolutely
also,
batter someone.
There's a guy on the bench called Clever.
It's called Todd Clever.
But he's not very smart, is he?
I don't get it. No, then we had come up with, as Weens, a song about daftly named rugby players, or unusually named rugby players, perhaps, that went, yap, yonk, molodika.
Yeah.
And
that was
I had three names. I had absolutely no idea who Yonk was, but we sang that song for years.
Yeah, yeah. And when he came on, I was like, oh, okay, that's who he is.
I was like, it's Yonk! I had a real burst of nostalgia. That's who Yonk is! It's Yonk! I just wanted to make a turnover so Yonk could say yoink.
Yeah, but he didn't. He didn't really do anything when he came on, unfortunately. He didn't. Yeah, in terms of players, other players in the team, there's Willem Alberts plays number 8.
Yeah, that's it. The standouts are Andres Pretorius,
Janne
Vermaak
as well plays 9. Which amazes me that he was like playing at a point where we could start at this point, because he's still going now, isn't he, Vermaak?
He was in the emerging Springboks team, and he was being talked up as the next big thing. He'd just been in the under-20s the previous year.
Also, Ernst Joubert on the bench.
Pre-Saracens.
Yeah.
Of course he is, yes.
Yeah.
He'd just signed for Saracens in between.
Yeah.
He was due to join them after this tour.
Yeah. Which is wild to think he ever played not for Saracens, because he was like the most Saracens player ever.
Yeah, with his nose.
Should we look at the Lions team?
Yeah, so the Lions team, in comparison, has Louis Ludic at fullback.
So,
a bit. This won't get old. So the Lions make quite a few changes. There are some players that carry over from the last game.
Yeah, like
so Jamie Roberts and Tommy Bowe played both.
There's somebody in the pack, isn't there, as well? David Wallace plays
both. David Wallace plays both games. He wasn't due to start the previous game, but he had...
Right. Okay.
So he then stays in. But then otherwise, pretty much all change. So Rob Carney and Brian O'Driscoll come in. Ugo Monier comes in. Stephen Jones and Mike Phillips as halfbacks. Obviously play together with Wales.
Yeah. Nathan Hines takes Paul O'Connell's place. And O'Driscoll takes the captaincy from him. Tom Croft comes in on the flank.
Yeah. Front row of Grumpy DJ, Geffen Jenkins, Crisp Salesman, Lee Mears, and Master Chef winner, Phil Vickery.
Yeah.
So, honestly, it's a party there. Like, you've got someone to do the buffet, someone to do the proper food, and then you've got someone to do the music.
Yeah.
You've got a party in that front row.
I'll tell you what.
And
the
then,
players,
you can
so
bring
grateful.
On... Then you can bring on Ewan Murray, who can sort any fights outside. You know, he can take someone outside and beat them up, and then go to church afterwards, and then get, repentment. And then Ross Ford's also there.
Yeah. I imagine Ewan Murray was wrestling Geffen Jenkins for the DJ decks, but sadly failed.
To play Christian music.
Yes, absolutely.
Play some gospel choir.
Yeah. That's probably like probably quite offensive.
But you know,
presumptuous, but no. Anyway, so should we get into the game? Which he's married to Lions 74, Lions 10.
It's really unfortunate, you know, they got married when they're very young. Yeah. They're still stuck together because their parents don't believe in divorce.
It's a massive age gap, 74, 10.
Yeah, I mean, wait a second. Are you saying that Uroz is both a gold thief and a nonce?
And a paedophile, yes.
This one orders in court where Uroz is right now.
Yeah. They're going to use this as evidence. With two
one
former
person,
school kids.
Yeah, who wasn't playing in this game, infamously, once said you weren't a paedophile.
Yeah. There's a thing to not send in fanfiction about.
Yes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So, the game kicks off, right? And you know how the Lions had a really dodgy start in the previous game?
Yeah.
They thump it along to Dusty Noble, who kicks it right back, and Stephen Jones knocks it on. And you think, oh no, it's going to be the same. Yeah. And then from there on out, it is not.
Stephen Jones drops his first two balls, and you kind of think, oh no, this is going to be Keith Hills Mark II, isn't it? And Stephen Jones plays a fucking blinder from there on.
Yeah, he's then excellent. But it is, there's 2 minutes of the Lions being on top of the Lions, and you kind of think, oh no, is this going to be an... Even though I remember this game was a 70-point battering.
Yeah.
You know, the final score was 74-10.
Yeah. So the Lions centre Boshoff smashes Stephen Jones, and you think like, oh no, they're hungry for this, and then they just look really like they can't be arsed from there on out. There's a point where so Jamie Heaslip casually throws somebody into touch, which is quite fun, because you know, in the World Cup retrospective we did, we found out that Jamie Heaslip's usually the one getting thrown into touch.
Do you think he did that? And then he thought, that looks like fun. I want someone to do that to me for two years until it eventually happened.
Yeah. Whee! There's then a point where David Wallace just randomly bodies Louis Ludic's leg. And I don't get it. Like,
so, 1 minute in, right? Louis Ludic goes to make a clearance kick from Stunner's own 22-meter line.
Mm.
And David Wallace just absolutely flies into his kicking foot as it's still going. And he bodies it, right?
Yeah.
And I don't remember
Louis Ludic
playing
this game.
He nearly
gets kicked in the balls in the process.
Sure, but I'm more worried about Louis Ludic's leg.
Yeah, me too. Because nowadays that would be very illegal, what David Wallace does.
It's super dodgy. It's one of those where there isn't a law against it, but it's so dangerous.
Yeah, you've still got to police it, I reckon.
You remember, was it 2014, when Glasgow started really targeting Conor Murray's standing foot?
Yeah.
It's got vibes of that, of like Wallace throws all of his weight into the foot as it's, you know, as it's trailing... as it's coming back in after he kicks the ball.
It's a really bizarre tackle technique, by the way.
Ludic is down for a couple of minutes. He's really, really seriously hurt. He then goes off, and on comes Frolic, right? I do not know Frolic's first name, right? To me, he is simply Frolic. And at no point in the game does Miles Harrison or Stuart Barnes... Don't look it up. No point does Miles Harrison or Stuart Barnes say Frolic's first name.
I've just checked it, and I'm not going to tell you.
He is simply... Frolic. To me, I choose to believe he is like a Brazilian footballer and he is only called Frolic. He is a man called Frolic. And Frolic comes on, and my first thought was, who is that collar? because he runs on.
Yeah.
And he is entirely... He's a man who is 90% collar. And
Miles Harrison says, here he is. Collar and a lion shirt. He had all of it.
Yeah. Well, he comes on and Miles Harrison says, here he is. Here's Frolic. And you go, oh, good. Frolic's joined the party. Frolic is a man who is 95% collar. He's gone at 5% since I said it.
It's one of those things, but, right? Where, you know when you discover that something is a name for the first time?
Yes.
Like, I never knew that Frolic was a name, but...
Yeah.
I like to imagine that Frolicking is named after him.
It absolutely is. Like, you watch him play and you think, I want this guy's name to be a verb.
Yes.
So Frolic comes on, right? And he has this collar turned right up, so you can't see his ears. That's how high it is. And he's got the shirt unbuttoned and as open as it possibly can be, so they're basically right out to his shoulders. And you can't see his face for how big his collar is. And I thought, this guy is instantly iconic. This is Frolic. Yeah. And I spent the rest of the game watching Frolic very, very closely. So
I enjoyed Frolic, mainly because he's really shit.
I love Frolic.
But...
Frolic is my favourite player of all time. He's my favourite player since Ander Munro, at least. Frolic... I've got it written down in my notes. After Frolic's been on for about 3 minutes. Is Frolic shit?
Yeah. There's that point where you think, like, oh, okay, his name's Frolic. That's quite exciting. And then you realise after a couple of minutes, like, he's not very good.
He's quite a solidly built fullback, you know? And
Miles Harrison said he's playing out of position. Don't know what position he normally plays. Might have been back row. I don't know.
It might be American football. My favourite thing about Frolic, right, as a player, is that he doesn't aim where he's kicking. He loves to kick the ball, but he never aims. He just hits the ball randomly. And a few times that really works out, but he very clearly just puts his head like back up, like rolls his head backwards when he kicks and just flings the ball at his boot and hoofs it. So like none of the kicks he does has any tactical advantage.
No,
he just hits it as hard as he can. There's one point in which he just hits the ball pretty much straight up in the air. It comes back down and he's been chasing it and he clearly hasn't been watching where the ball is because it hits him in the face and bounces into the hands of one of the Lions players. At one point, I think it's his first touch, he tries a delicate little chip, but because he doesn't aim where he's trying, it goes perfectly horizontal. Like, you could get a protractor out and measure that, and it wouldn't be a single angle, it would be zero. It goes perfectly horizontally along
from
him.
That is the second game in a row where the Lions opponent's fullback has attempted a chip over, and it's gone perfectly sideways. And I think that's really poetic. There's also a point where, so Stuart Barnes suggests, like, I'm really shocked that they've not put the winger Michael Killian to fullback instead of Frolic. And then they kind of go, like, oh, but that would mean Frolic playing on the wing, and that's even worse. We don't want that.
No, because Frolic is a fullback now. We know this. Frolic is a fullback. And again, I've just got Frolic watch all throughout my notes. I've been keeping a very close eye on Frolic, who is my favourite player, as I say, since at least Ander Munro, if not ever. At one point in the second half, he makes a try-saving tackle on Alan Wynne-Jones, and I almost exploded.
Yeah. He did a couple of good things, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love Frolic.
Yeah.
I will hear no bad things against Frolic.
Should we talk about the Lions?
So we've been talking about the Lions.
But the Lions.
Yeah, so the Lions spend a few minutes being kind of patchy.
Yeah.
But I don't know if... Because Miles Harrison and Stuart Barnes in the commentary keep talking about how excellent the Lions are for the entire first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
When actually they look quite bad by modern standards.
Yeah, I agree. They look very shapeless.
I don't know if...
It takes Ugo Monya straightening up and like really getting them going forward to form any sort of shape.
Yeah. But I don't know if that's just our modern sensibilities 12 years on.
I think it kind of is, them, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think... I think actually they were playing quite solidly for the fact there are odd stray passes and there isn't much shape to their attack. But that's just because there's so much more shape to any attack these days.
Sure, yeah. They're kind of going side to side, but gradually making ground, aren't they? Granted, the defence isn't great, you know.
No.
But, so, the Lions' first trip to the 22 results in points.
Yeah.
There's a really, really nice step, an offload by Brian O'Driscoll, and the offload to Jamie Roberts, who just crashes over from short range. And that is sort of the start of that partnership building.
Yes.
And O'Driscoll obviously looked really, really good throughout the game.
It's the start of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah. And Jamie Roberts hits the line really, really well.
Yeah. And, you know, Stuart Barnes in commentary makes the point that we expect to be the other way around of Roberts feeding to O'Driscoll.
Yeah.
But instead, it's O'Driscoll just really nicely picking his moments, and Roberts then crashing over from a few inches out.
They instantly looked effortlessly brilliant, didn't they? They didn't really need any time to gel. Like, they are such a good combination from the off. And, like, we kind of should have seen that coming, that would be, like, a worldy combination. But
yeah. I mean, it's always talked about, and it always will be, as one of the great centre partnerships of all time.
Yeah.
And they played together about five times.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were great on the 2013 tour, but particularly this tour was... as I said, like, they flourished within minutes of knowing each other.
Yeah, because we assume none of the players get to meet before the game. That's the whole thing with the Lions.
Yes.
You've got to come together over the course of the game time.
You don't get
to meet in advance.
You're not even allowed to high five before the game. You know, you've got to...
Social distance.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to just... You can stare at each other for about 5 seconds and be allowed to speak.
Yeah, there was a loophole where Tom Croft was really hungry the day before the game, when they're doing the captain's run, where they're not allowed to meet, they've got to stand 6 meters apart.
Oh, of course, yeah, and he starts snacking on David Wallace, yeah.
Yes, he just ate David Wallace's leg.
Yeah.
No, and Lee Mears sold him some crisps, because he was pathologically addicted to selling crisps.
Yeah.
And it was a real grey area, because he wasn't in his official capacity as a Lions player when he sold him crisps.
He was doing his side business. He took off the humble Lions jersey, put on his I Sell Crisps jersey, and sold some crisps. So Lee Mears has two modes. He walks around the streets of Bath, always either wearing a Lions jersey from 2009, like the test jersey. Yeah. And he never washes it. Unless sometimes he might wash it when he's wearing his I Sell Crisps shirt instead.
It's just a t-shirt that says I Sell Crisps.
He sells them individually as well.
Yes. Up to him and you say, how many crisps do you want?
He'd be like, 100 crisps, please. And I'm like, okay, fair enough.
But because he's that... What's that for a crisp?
Let me just quickly do the maths on this.
That's like 11p per crisp.
Yeah, £11 divided by 100. Yep, 11p per crisp.
So... Lee Mears, who, because he's that good a crisp salesman, right, he can just glance down and he instantly knows what 100 crisps are like. He doesn't have to count them off individually. Like,
even need to look at them. He keeps really intense eye contact, stares dead in the eye, and picks up exactly 100 crisps. And, like, a claw, puts them in your hand.
And then immediately continues walking down the street. Wearing his t-shirt, very prominently showing that he sells crisps.
Making really intense eye contact with people.
Waiting for someone to stop him and spend 11p on a crisp.
He doesn't sleep. He just keeps walking. Like, he has his arms swaying side to side.
He can only sleep in his Lions jersey. He has to change out.
Well, sometimes he likes to go to rugby training and just completely forgets about the crisp business.
He just sometimes shifts and he has no idea when he does it.
Yeah, yeah. He's never actually shirtless as well. Like, he puts one on over the top and then takes the other one off from underneath and, like, carries on with his crisp selling.
But they somehow just swap places on his body.
Yeah.
His Lions test jersey.
Yeah.
And they had real problems when he was back playing for Bath. Was they had to put that jersey over the top, so it's actually wearing three layers whenever
they had
played.
They had to paint the Bath colours onto it.
Yeah, it's like back sand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, was that his crisp jersey or his Lions jersey that he played for Bath in?
Both. He's played in both. There was a really confusing moment at a scrum once where he tried to give the referee some crisp, and the referee told him trying to buy a penalty from him.
The referee took one crisp for 11p, and then yellow carded him. Did you know it's in the referee law book that you're not allowed to sell crisps to the referee on the pitch?
Is that was actually an ELV that came in this year?
Yeah, it's a yellow card offence if you try and sell the referee some crisps.
And this is why Lee Mears didn't have much of a career beyond this Lions tour, but he didn't make the following World Cup.
Not much of a rugby career. Because he was just...
No, exactly. But it's why... Because he just kept going up to referees and trying to sell them crisps. But the thing is, there's a loophole, right? And eventually, when Todd Blackadder came in at Bath, which didn't happen until after he retired, but it worked out this loophole, which was that You can give crisps to a referee for free, but you're not allowed to sell them to them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Less than 11p.
So what Blackadder would do in advance is he'd pay Lee Mears for some crisps in advance and then have him deliver them to the referee during the game.
I see. Like so it became a really Saracen's maneuver.
Exactly. They start a crisp business.
I'm honestly shocked Nigel Ray didn't find out this loophole first. I'm surprised it took Blackadder to do this.
Didn't have Vuno Crisp.
Yeah. He didn't send out, like, you know, Michael Rhodes or something like someone to just be like, "Oh mate, do you want some Pringles?" No, that doesn't work. You're not Lee Mears.
No, Lee Mears is the king of the crisp.
Yeah. He's probably the Tiger Woods of selling crisps on a rugby field.
I think so. Not that Tiger Woods ever stole any golf equipment. Wouldn't have to, because he gets given it for free because he's a world-class golfer. And
yeah, he's got sponsorships and stuff.
The Lions score like 18 tries in this game.
yeah, they do. We're now half an hour in. All we've spoken about is Earl Rose and crisps. So, what other tries happen? Oh, no, there's a point where Stephen Jones does two really like clever kicks in a row, and they're really smart. They manage to regain the ball both times. Well, okay, so the first one...
Mm.
There's Stephen Jones kicks into the corner and it lands it on sort of the 5 meter channel. Jano Vermaak goes to dive on the ball and secure it, and Killian, the winger, just comes in, slides in from outside, and slaps it out of his hands and into touch.
Yeah,
his own teammate.
It's a wild thing to do, isn't it? It's
yeah.
That is a squad that has had political upheaval and has not been preparing properly, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That something is a, like that.
That but, is a squad where there's tension.
Yeah, but he slaps the ball away from his nine.
No one seems to trust another player other than Andreas Pretorius, who trusts everyone to make tackles on Jamie Robs rather than him.
Andreas Pretorius is playing for them now.
Yes, Wales he is. So, yes.
Yes. No, that's very picky for me to pick up on you making that mistake. It's like three letters. Not even, it's two letters. Anyway. So yeah, that's a really mad decision by Killian to slap the ball out. But... So straight from the line out there, they hit Tommy Bowe on a short ball through the middle, and he offloads to Brian O'Driscoll, who just skates in really easily.
It's a lovely bit of rugby from both. You know, Tommy Bowe hits a really
so
nice line.
Yeah,
times the thing perfectly in terms of freeing his hands before he makes the tackle, before he hits the tackle, and O'Driscoll finishes it super. Like, that is a more difficult finish than Brian O'Driscoll makes it look like.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
there's far more work to do than it looks like from O'Driscoll.
The fact that it looks effortless is what's impressive about that.
Yes.
The fact that he can put himself in a position where he can put that down one-handed is what's so impressive, rather than having to dive around somebody or shrug someone off or whatever. Like, he managed to very easily just skate past the last defender, who I think was Frolic, and put the ball down.
It wasn't, I checked this, it wasn't Frolic. I was in Frolic watch.
Oh, okay, yeah, of course. You just had like a shiny, like
like the spotlight,
a beacon
like BT Sport used to do. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
A Lewis beacon over him. So there's another point right after this as well, where Frolic is running support of someone else because he went fullback. I think one of the wingers, I think it might have been Killian, takes the ball and he's just running in front of him.
Classic Frolic.
He's just having a little frolic.
Yeah, maybe that's a new position. He plays up front.
Yeah, American football.
Yeah.
He's just used to a forward pass being allowed.
So
the Lions then get back down to the 22 and they kick a goal from 14-0 up.
I think that's a really smart decision.
I don't like it.
I think that's a
what
smart
dickheads.
Decision because... Yeah, that's also valid. But 14-0 up, 10 minutes into the game, I think at that point you're just trying to like kind of rub it into the opposition. And you sort of say like, you're not getting back into this game. We're 17-0 up now. You know?
No, sure,
I think
okay.
That's smart.
I take it on the first one, but not the second time they do it.
Yeah.
To be fair, the Golden Lions get downfield and kick a penalty, and that puts them to 17-3. But at that point for the Lions, you go, no, don't be silly. Don't be silly and think you've got a chance in this game. Let's turn the knife.
Yeah. There's also, not long after this, a really funny point where Ugo Monya tries to take a quick throw and it goes about 7 metres forward.
Yes.
And luckily, they're still given the line out after that rather than being pulled back for a scrum or whatever, but
he does a frolic.
Yes, he does. He totally frolics.
At one point the referee gives a penalty for a high tackle. I don't know if he just received crisps from Lee Mears to buy it, but 2009, when did you ever see penalties for high tackles? We just watched the whole 2011 World Cup back. I don't think it happened once.
I suppose so. High tackles and offsides were the two things that were just like completely just like a free-for-all.
Everyone just went play on, you know. No one gave a shit about any of it.
No.
It was just, it stood out to me that an actual high tackle, nowadays you're so tuned into high tackles, anything, any contact there, you go, oh, send him off, send the dirty get off. Whereas then, it was just like, you know, who cares, you know? If he didn't actually shove a finger in his eye, no one cares, Alan Quinlan.
I'm just going to move on from that.
Yeah.
The resulting line-out, Monya goes straight for an inside ball. It's a really nice line by Monya. And an even better offload to Jamie Roberts off the floor. Roberts is held up by Willem Alberts, who does a brilliant tackle on him.
Right. Willem Alberts is excellent in this game. Yeah. He is the one Lions player you look at and go, that guy's going to play for the Springboks in the future.
Yeah, you can totally see his potential. Like, he carries really well. Yeah. He makes so many huge hits. There's one kick he puts in that goes about 60 yards that really saved his team. There's a few really brilliant things he does in this game, and you're right.
And he went on, he won his first cap that autumn.
Yeah.
So at this point, he was a promising youngster rather than, you know, big international Springbok guy. But he is by such a distance the Lions' best player, the Golden Lions' best player.
The Lions' best player.
He is the best player. Until about 65 minutes, where after being the only player trying for so long, he just doesn't bother catching the ball when it's given to him on a short ball by the nine. And he clearly looks like he's just pissed off and tired and doesn't want to try anymore.
You understand that.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
Being the best on his team, you know. Yeah, so he obviously holds that try for Jamie Roberts. And then I love what comes after this. The next Lions attack, there is a really nice offload from the man himself in rugby mode, Lee Mears, to Jamie Roberts. Roberts goes straight through the middle and finds Tommy Bowe. Tommy Bowe, again, like, he's running, like, he's so balanced, and he manages to somehow convince everybody, oh, he's going to go the whole way. And then he sends a really nice floated pass over the top to Monya, who just skates into the corner to turn it from sort of a maybe 60% try into 100% try.
Yes. Yeah, it's really, really nice and really well finished and taken.
Yeah.
It's a superb try. Yeah, well finished by Monya. And Tommy Bowe just showing the complete all-round game he had.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And there's a few moments like that in this game where, like, I think Tommy Bowe was selfless all game and still managed to pick up two tries, which feels mad that he was the commentator spoke about him as like, oh, he's the assister today is Tommy Bowe, rather than the prolific finisher we used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other moment of great teamsmanship around this point is at one point Frolic wins a turnover penalty because he is Richie McCaw. Oh,
wow, I missed that.
But he is also Frolic.
He's also Frolic.
No
first
name,
really disrespectful.
No surname. Just Frolic. Just Frolic. Like Madonna or Adele. Just one name, Frolic.
Yeah, or Drake, even.
Yeah.
Because his name is famously...
Who Rose likes to listen to.
Yeah, exactly. So, Tommy Bowe makes a few more breaks. Oh, there's a really, really nice one where... he sets Rob Carney through on a little switch on the inside.
Yes.
As soon as they realise like how quick and balanced he is, they just kind of go like, I've got an idea, lads. Let's just put all of our defenders on at number 14.
But Tommy Bowe covers so much ground in this game. He's rarely where he starts off a move.
Yeah.
You know, he is covering the full width. He's very, very, very good.
Yeah. There's the next one where he kind of pops up very quickly in the sort of scrum half type position, does a little bit of a pick and go. And what's brilliant about this, and the thing is, this is at the point where not everybody had quite realised that in order to efficiently draw in a player, you had to be running at full speed. Yes. And players would still try and do that thing sometimes where they slow down thinking that's going to somehow draw a man in, and it's just not true. And Tommy Bowe goes at full speed like he's going for the gap, and then just no look pops it up to Tom Croft, who's hitting a gap. And it's a hell of a finish by Croft.
Again,
he
Croft
steps three or four people.
Yeah.
Shows incredible pace to get there, which at this point was a novelty, seeing a flanker who could outrun wingers or centres or whatever. I suppose it's still a novelty these days for outrun a winger.
But a winger of that kind of agility.
A halfback or a centre, you probably expect a lot of flankers and number 8s to be about as quick as them at this point, as in 2021. But in 2009, it was a real bonus to Tom Croft's stock with the Lions in terms of getting to the test team, was the fact that he could finish opportunities like that.
Yeah, and this is the try he kind of lived off for a very long time, I think. Mm. He was very good in the two tests, obviously, this year.
Yeah.
But I think him bursting through and showing in a Lions jersey, I am very quick and I can finish, kind of won him a lot of kudos on the following tour as well.
Yeah.
And so when he starts at 6 in that first test, despite having not played as well as Lydia, from my memory, it is partly
you
on...
He's
got
it, though.
But that's
he's
it. He's got a point of difference.
Line out. Yeah.
He's got a point of difference. He's got a point of difference that none of the other flankers can do, you know?
Absolutely.
Whereas Dan Lydia is like... 2013 Dan Lydia was the best at the core role of a six
Yeah.
Of anyone
you can
say in the
world. A lot of brilliant things about Dan Lydia, and I love the guy, but he's not fast.
No. But whereas Tom Croft was something different, and I think the hope was, and we're now looking at the wrong Lions tour, but the hope was Tom Croft could do the Lydiate stuff and then also have his point of difference. Yeah. And I think often Croft would sacrifice one for the other, and he doesn't really in this game, and he doesn't really on this tour. I think this tour is the best rugby he played in his career. And obviously we'll see that as it goes on, you know, as he continues to develop. But yeah, very, very well taken try.
Yeah.
Brings us right... Oh, no, then at the end of the half, again, we have Jamie Roberts, Ryan O'Driscoll combining and Tommy Bowe popping up in the middle of it. And Jamie Roberts crashes over on half-time.
Yes. The line shape looked really, really nice there. There was a lovely line again by Ugo Monya, who... Ugo Monya was sort of like the glue in this line's backline in a way, that everybody else was quite flashy, and Ugo Monya, when they needed to sort of straighten up and go forward again, he was the guy who provided that. And I think he really, really brought some balance to the Roberts O'Driscoll Bowe axis. Yeah. I think Monya was the perfect left winger they could have had for that. It's a really nice Lions back line, obviously. It's a proper star-studded team. But yeah, you have, of course, forgotten another try.
No. There's two things that the Golden Lions do in just before half-time, which are, one... Todd Clever comes on.
Yes. He's really good when he comes on as well.
He's really good.
Like, why did they not start him?
Hair tied back. I don't know. I don't know if it's just, again, all of their politics and their stuff going on. And, you know, Grobbelaar, their captain, was in the back row, and so was Willem Alberts. And then they had, what's his name, Franco van der Merwe, who obviously then goes on from there to sign for London Irish and Ulster.
Yeah.
He goes to play on for both. I think he headed to London Irish straight after this tour.
Right.
And then after that, went to Ulster a couple of years later.
Okay. That makes sense, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, they've got a few players like that in the back. They've got a few good back rowers. But, yeah, Clever's excellent when he plays.
Yeah, yeah. And he looked really wound up for most of the game. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And I just love that there's a little bit of fuck it I do it myself to Todd Clever. Like, there's a couple of points where he kicks the ball or throws long passes or, you know, just tries to bounce everybody, ignoring overlaps. And, you know, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Like, and then
he's probably the best player in that squad, Todd Clever. Willem Alberts is the best, certainly, in this game. But I think, generally, historically, I think
it's Willem Alberts, but sure.
You reckon? Yeah, I'm a big fan of Todd Clever.
But he's obviously the most capped player in the squad. He's the most experienced.
Yeah.
At this point, he'd been to two World Cups, you know.
Yeah.
Went on to play in another, obviously, a couple of years later, which we've talked about in detail, if you want to look at other episodes of this podcast.
Yeah. We've spoken about literally every single game.
Yeah. Every single one. Even that one game we didn't get to watch.
Oh, yeah.
DJ Khaled. So, Frolic is my favourite rugby player, right?
Yes.
I want to make that clear. And I didn't remember the Golden Lions having scored a try in this game. I thought it was something like 74-6 was the full-time score.
Yeah.
And so, when, for about 3 minutes to go in the half, they have an overlap, and the guy on the end draws the pass and gives it to Frolic, I was unbelievably excited.
Yeah.
Because I got to watch my all-time favourite player, who I have loved since I was a child, who did food tech, score a try on the only time I'll ever see him play.
Yes. Unless we do another podcast dedicated to Frolic, but we've got to get through the Ramil Gysin series first, where we go through every game he ever played. But
the other thing is, though, in order to find out more games he plays, I'd have to find out his first name.
Oh, that's true.
And to me,
no,
he is
as like
Frolic.
Your agent, I'll do that. I'll search the archives for you. You know, there was once on Twitter, me and Sam Lana discussed doing a podcast where we do an episode on each of John Yap's 11 caps. But alas, I don't think that's going to come
true. Yeah, do Yonk one afterwards.
Yeah, that's true.
And then
actually,
a Molotika retrospective. My notes read as follows, and it's massive, you know, the biggest writing on the page.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Frolic try. Omg. Yes, boys. Frolic.
Nice.
With loads of K's.
I mean,
go frolic yourself. Nobody has had his first name. No name card. Frolic alone. Frolic forever.
Nice. I mean, so when the Lions score, it's just kind of like, oh, Brian O'Driscoll scores a nice try.
Whereas
there's, yeah, boy, Frolic try. So
Frolic is the...
I got a lot more excited for Frolic's try than any of the Lions' tries.
Oh, absolutely. Frolic is the best player.
Yeah.
He also doesn't take the conversion, which is hugely disappointing. Because if he had, he would have just skied it.
Oh, that would have been a lot of fun.
I want to see... his attempt at goal kicking when he doesn't aim his kicks.
Damn you, Andre Pretorius, for nailing it.
I know. What's he like?
So yeah, the Lions go in 39-10 up at half-time, and the Lions go in 39-10 down at half-time. So they come back out, and just like straight away, Jamie Roberts just kind of steps straight through the defense and just kind of goes, yeah, okay, might go the whole way. Finds Monya on the inside, and he offloads to Alwyn Jones, who nearly scores, but ends up getting penalized
for
holding on.
But for a try-saving tackle by the one and only Frolic.
Yeah, but again, that was a really nice break by Jamie Roberts, and you kind of think, like, oh my god, he must be knackered at this point. Yes. Granted, he does end up coming up off not long into the half, doesn't he? And James Hawk ends up playing in the centre for a little bit.
Comes off around 50-odd minutes. But he just played the previous Saturday, and this was on Tuesday. Yeah. So it's quite tight turnaround.
He must have been knackered. He looked fine, obviously, but he must have been shattered.
And it's
at that point.
Not the highest level of intensity, this game. No. You know, like, it's quite... It is a bit of a chuck around.
Yeah.
There's a really lovely try-the-line score not that far into this half. Tommy Bowe finishes before Roberts comes off. That looks so training ground.
Yes.
Like, they have so much... They pull off this move. It's a really nice try. Passes
try.
And everything.
That's
but it, they have no.
So far.
They have no pressure on them when they're trying to execute these passes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're able to get outside the defence so easily.
And so effectively, Stephen Jones has Brian O'Driscoll and Jamie Roberts running hard lines off him. And he gives it to O'Driscoll, who then has Roberts running a hard line outside him. And instead... So Roberts is actually in the gap here. So passing to Roberts wouldn't have been the bad thing. But instead he gives it back to Stephen Jones, who's looping around. And then he hits Carney again on the short one. And Roberts, despite the fact that O'Driscoll probably took the wrong option by going on the back, he still managed to do a little bit of a block and make enough of a gap for Carney to go through. And then it's the next phase, which is so perfect. So Stephen Jones, he runs... He really, really isolates the last defender. It's effectively a two-on-two, but there's enough space that Stephen Jones can just go at full speed, make sure that defender bites in on him, and he can just quickly feed the ball across to Bowe, who finishes brilliantly.
Yeah, I mean, brilliant finish. As you say, Stephen Jones going at full speed, goes at both miles and arrows capable of.
The way he isolates the last defender
is
just exquisite.
Well.
Yeah,
Stephen Jones was so good, man.
He's brilliant. Brilliant.
Stephen Jones was just like... He was like a 3D printed fly half.
Yeah, there wasn't a bad part of his game.
There wasn't. He was just so rounded and perfect. And there was nothing flashy. There was nothing even, like, almost human about him, you know?
Yeah.
He just seemed like you'd printed aspects of a fly half you'd want onto a very nice man who always was always carrying a fridge on his back.
I'll tell you what. For us as young lads watching this, there was no better person to have as, like, the role model fly half.
No,
Like, this is what a fly half does. Obviously, there was James Hook as well, so it's like, oh, creativity. But Stephen Jones always felt like he's the fly half. He's the one who knows what to do.
You know those, like, attribute maps that you get where, you know, you have, like, the furthest out points, and an ideal one would just be, like, a circle where everything's really even. Stephen Jones would be the circle. Stephen Jones would be the exact, like, every point he hit was put, every part of his game was as good as the next part of his game, you know?
Yeah.
There was no standout in his game. He was about the most well-rounded 10 you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even Dan Carter had some aspects that were stronger than others. You know, and Dan Carter was obviously a better player than Stephen Jones.
Yes.
But Stephen Jones was the best rounded 10 I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. The most consistently rounded 10.
Yes.
Yeah. So, not long after that, Craig Joubert decides to be a boring grass and rules out a brilliant Golden Lions try for Janne Vermaak.
Yes.
Who. He actually kind of set up the position for Frolic's try, where with a really nice miss pass to sort of basically make the Lions defend a lot more narrowly.
Mm.
And he runs a really, really nice support line. And Joubert, the boring grass, rules it out for a forward pass. And
no one cares.
No one cares.
No one cares.
No one cares.
He then, later on, 70-odd minutes, he TMOs a Golden Lions try.
Yeah.
And he like, guys, come on. It's 74-10. Let me have the try.
The Lions obviously defended it really well, and Sean Edwards would have been delighted with that.
Yeah, yeah.
With the way they held him out. But still, like, come on.
Just, no one
be
cares.
A bit more biased, you know?
Literally, like, one person cares,
if you're a referee,
and it's Sean Edwards. Wait a second, I understand. Sean Edwards is the only person who cares, and he's nearby.
Yeah. But if you're a referee and you're unbiased, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Be more shithouse.
Yeah. What would Eliotta want of you?
Exactly, right? He would want not racism.
Eliotta would want you buying those crisps.
Sure, sure. I don't know what that has to do with racism, but...
Just being corrupt.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough. Crisps are famously not racist, to be fair, so...
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. I've never seen a racist crisp.
There's a point where the Lions try to attack, and the other Lions decide to help them out by just going for a mad deliberate knock-on. And perfectly placing Mike Phillips into a gap with it, which I thought was really funny. And Philip tries to run the whole way and then eventually attempts a little kick for Jamie Heaslip, who's calling for it. It doesn't quite go to plan because the idea was correct. Just the kick was like... The issue with the kick is that it was really shit.
Yeah, and it is not a good kick at all. No. But, you know, he tries, bless him.
Well, then what I love about this, so Jano Vermaak takes the ball. And he kind of runs backwards in a way of like, oh, I've got to get away from these defenders before I can try and exit here. And there's, I don't think it was Frolic, but whoever was covering fullback, it might have been Killian or Noble, runs perfectly into a gap that would have basically made him score. And then Vermaak doesn't give the pass. And then he just has a really annoyed look on his face. Throws on, like, oh! Like, he was about to be in.
Yeah.
But he's really frustrated.
Alas, instead he's got to play for the team that loses 74-10 and doesn't even get their try allowed by the TMO.
Yeah. Oh, it's a hard life, isn't it?
I know. Frolic also offer scrum. They get down into 22 and Pretorius takes the ball at 10, right? And he's got Frolic running a hard line to crash the ball up and he just drops it. He doesn't catch it. The ball just bounces straight off his chest and into the Lions' hands, who then run most of the way downfield.
Yeah, yeah. There's also like... James Hook getting absolutely nailed by Villamalbus.
Yes, that's his first touch. James Hook comes on, and his first touch is he gets nailed by Villamalbus. He then does that thing where he puts the ball down, picks it back up, and goes again, like, you know, Jimeno loves to do.
Yeah.
He tries to do that, and Albus just goes, all right then, and picks him up again and carries him another 5 metres back.
That's what I love about that. It's the first time Albus hits him so hard that James Hook accidentally does a roly-poly, like a backwards roll.
Yeah.
Because he's hit so hard that his momentum naturally puts him back on his feet about 10 metres further back. And then there's two of them pick him up. There's Weapon of the Hooker as well. Also just goes, yeah, I'm going to have some of this. And he gets smashed twice in one carry.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's properly... Yeah,
I love it.
That is something James Hook should have learned from, because he did throw a dummy in the immediate lead up. And Alberts went, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I shall not buy this from you, sir. You are not Lee Mears.
The Lions then learn a lesson in this and go... Oh, you know what? We could work quite hard in defence as well.
Well, that's it. Yeah. James Hook doesn't throw a pass there and then thinks, wait a second. They throw passes, though. They're not making that mistake. They're making that mistake. Yeah. I'm not going to make it. Yeah. So both James Hook and Tommy Bowe, both Osprey teammates at the time, both pick off passes and score interception tries in quite a short succession.
Yeah, Tommy Bowes was really, really nice. It was great pressure line speed by Jamie Roberts and Brian O'Driscoll to put Bowe perfectly into the gap between the two passes. And he didn't even sprint it, and he basically jogs it.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. It was really nice to see him get
by the time
another try.
He hits the 22. He stopped running.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a casual jog in the park. There, it's a frolic, you could say.
Yes.
And speaking of which, guess who throws the pass to James Hook?
Frolic.
It's our boy, nice. Mr. Frolic.
I mean, that one was a little bit more just like, well, if the ball's in the air for 7 years, eventually someone's going to catch it, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
That was in the air for a very, very long time.
Yeah, he just kind of picks quite a nice line in between, reads it well, and then runs that in under the post. Bit more of a chase, bit more of a sprint needed, but still gets there quite easily because it's Todd Clever chasing back. Todd Clever doesn't give up on anything.
Excuse me one second, the dog is just having a drink. He's sat on the bed with me as I record this. He could feature on this. I could cut this
What's
out.
The dog got to say? No. What's the dog got to say? What does the dog think of Jamie Heaslip's performance?
The dog reckons that the Lions were pretty good in this game, that Jamie Heaslip played very well, but it's still going to be enough.
Let him say that. Don't mansplain him. Don't dog-splain the dog.
Okay, fine.
Should we introduce him properly?
This is Winston.
Winston. Hi, Winston.
Yeah, he is a Cairn Terrier, a very good boy.
Is Winston going to say anything?
He's a big shake. Okay. If you said your piece now, Winston, or do you want to say any more? No, I think he's going to just have a lie down again. Anyway, where were we?
Winston, just quickly, where can we find you on social media?
Oh, he's not bothered anymore.
Okay, he's gone away. Never mind. He's left early. Just want in case people want to listen to the Winston podcast.
Yeah,
Winston World Cup retrospective.
I mean, he's a really good boy, so, you know. Anyway, where were we?
Rugby, what tries?
Oh, Ewan Murray and Ross Ford come on and smash their first scrum.
Yes.
They obliterate the Lions in that scrum, and they march forward about 5 metres, do another, get a penalty out of it.
And then Stuart Barnes says on commentary, I bet Ewan Murray can't wait for his first scrum.
Yeah.
Straight after he's just smashed the first scrum.
Yeah, and also trying to imply, oh yeah, the Lions could take a scrum from this scrum penalty.
Yeah.
That's like 30 metres out. And it's like, oh, but James Hook instead wants to show off his kicking by going to the corner, which would obviously gain them more of an advantage.
It's just there's... I enjoyed as well Stuart Barnes doing analysis, which he doesn't do nowadays. Nowadays, he's just fire on all analysts.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's pretty basic analysis. Don't get me wrong.
It is, yeah. But it's like this guy runs here, so this guy runs again.
Yeah. Which is just, you know, we take that for granted now. I say we do. I mean, a lot of pundits still,
sure,
at that level. But
you know, Stuart Barnes played in the '80s, so
yes, yeah,
it's a long time ago to be keeping up until as long as he did until 2009.
Yeah, there's a point where James Hook makes a little break. Down the sideline, tries to do a little bit of a kick, and it doesn't work. It kind of just bounces over his head.
Monier can't regather it.
Then, not long after that, Mike Phillips is moved into the centre for Harry Ellis, who comes on at nine.
Yeah.
So they end up with a centre partnership of Hook, Bow, and Phillips.
One of those things, right, that the Lions do in a tour game when, you know, it's the last 10 minutes. There's no way they'd ever do that in a test, surely.
No.
They'd never try Mike Phillips in the test. No.
Okay, so I found, I remembered this during this game, a tweet from Mike Phillips from 2012.
Yes.
Where he was playing for Bayonne at that point, and he said, "It's so easy playing 12 and 13, smiley face. Ha, never going to finish up playing there till I'm 50 for Bayonne."
How did that go for you, Mike?
He retired and then played one game for the scrum half for the Scarlets and retired again.
He is currently 38. He has 12 years to go till he can retire. We need to force him out of retirement and just hold him down. We need to hold him down and force him to play in the centre for another 12 years. Also, he can go in the next Lions tour. He can go in the next Lions tour to South Africa.
Yeah. Another thing is that got one retweet and no likes.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I remember that tweet.
Yeah, yeah. Because clearly, I think he'd started for Bayonne in the centre at one point.
No likes, though.
Yeah. Mad, isn't it? No one likes Mike Phillips, clearly. That's I shouldn't say that. Anyway, so he said that...
I bet I could send that tweet now, and it would get more likes.
I think you should send that exact tweet.
That exact tweet, word for word. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do it, but this podcast won't go out for another few days, and it'll look really confusing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we did the Chad Plato full stop thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which, if anybody doesn't know, search at Plato Chad on Twitter, and there's a full... He's done one tweet before, and it was a full stop in reply to Sky Sports News on something to do with football. And we've done a big, long chain. It starts with Sam Lana, and it ends up with... Eventually, we're all tagging Zebra Rugby, right? Or something. But, you know, go through that. Make sure you're replying to the correct ones because the chain goes a long way. There's quite a few different chains that start eventually, isn't there?
Yes.
A few people try and split off. But go with the ones that us two have liked because we didn't like the ones that ended up on the wrong chain.
So Chad Plato, for anyone unaware, is a Namibia winger who played in the 2019 World Cup and was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And when Sam Lana, when he was a guest on the podcast, he had done a graph tracking everyone's performances per touch, you know, of how many positive impacts they had per touch in the World Cup. And Chad Plato was so good that he broke the scales, that he was by like at least twice as good as the next closest player in terms of positive involvements per touch. He scored a brilliant solo try against Italy, most notably.
And basically we started a petition to make sure he signs for Zebra Rugby.
And it hasn't happened yet.
It has happened. It has happened, but... he's not actually playing his first game, so get to the end of that chain. Get to the end of the chain. I'm aware that there's... So I looked at this a couple of weeks ago, and a couple of people in the chain have gone private or deleted their accounts since.
Right.
So it makes it a bit harder. It says, like, oh, this person's account's been private or whatever. Mm. So there's a few people you kind of have to just skip, like, leapfrog. But eventually it gets to a point where we're all tagging Zebra Rugby, so jump on the end of that and tag at Zebra Rugby until we find a new trend to put on the end of that chain.
I just want to take a moment out to, because we talked about Marcus Harrison quite a lot here.
Yeah.
And he has just, in the last half hour, Sky Sports Rugby Union have tweeted that he is recovering from colon cancer.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to miss the Lions tour. So I just want to take a moment after we've been talking about him.
Yeah.
I've said this many times. I think Marcus Harrison is the best commentator in rugby.
Yeah.
I think he's just excellent. He brings so much both. He both brings occasion to every game he commentates on.
Yeah.
And he also brings a kind of...
he's brilliant.
He also brings a kind of warmth and enjoyment to it. He clearly loves rugby and really loves the game. And I just want to take a moment, as I've seen that literally seconds ago, to send my best to him, to his family.
Likewise.
Yeah. And we're going to miss him on the Lions tour, but I'd rather, you know, he gets through this episode.
That's a massive shame, but
yeah,
at what cost, you know? Hopefully he has a strong, healthy recovery.
Yeah.
And he will be missed on the Lions tour.
Also, of course, a Nottingham man, you know, one of the small handful of Nottingham people in rugby. So
yeah, we like that. And so does Martin Gilliam. So
yes.
Wow. Yeah. That's
Yes. Okay, sorry. Okay. But we've covered most of the Lions tries, I suppose.
Yeah.
The one we haven't got to is Stephen Ferris's in the last minute.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's kind of a loose ball because the Lions ruck over quite well. And Stephen Ferris picks the ball up and just completely outstrips the whole Golden Lions team, basically. And he shows a great bit of toe to make it the whole way, because you kind of think he's going to get caught at one point. But he manages to empty the tank and go the whole way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
about 70 metres he covers, isn't it?
And he loves it. He is so he's delighted by that.
Yeah.
And he's got Shane Williams in support, but, you know, he thinks, nah, I need someone quick.
Shane Williams with the world's shittest lid, I will add.
Oh, like, even by Shane's standards.
He's got a really crap mullet at this point.
Yeah, even by Shane Williams. Shane Williams never found his haircut, but even by those standards, it's not great.
There's also a funny point where Harry Ellis tries a dummy box kick, where clearly when he picks the ball up, he's thinking he's going to dummy it and tries mugging off some bloke. And kind of succeeds.
Yeah. Harry Ellis is properly in that tier of players where you go, wow, Harry Ellis is a Lion.
Yeah, yeah, it's wild, isn't it?
It's one good year of form and a weak position.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, like, did anybody ever think Harry Ellis would make the test team?
He did. You know, he's got a test cap.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he come in the third test?
Third test.
Wow.
I mean, we'll get into... But, obviously... They wouldn't do anything wild when they brought Harry Ellis.
No, of course not. Of course not. They wouldn't, like, move anyone's position or anything.
No,
Nothing that we've already covered, you know.
No.
So, before we move on to Man of the Match, to be fair, this is kind of a segue into Man of the Match and Dick of the Day. I assume that's where we're going next. There's nothing more particularly on the game. So, there's a point where... So, James Hook scores his try. And have you noticed what Craig Joubert does at this point?
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to play you a little bit of audio now.
Okay.
So you probably can't really pick it up there, and I had to listen back to this quite a lot of times to try and figure out what Craig Joubert said.
Right.
But he laughs and turns to the sideline, and he, in some way, banters Wayne Barnes. He said, "At least I'm something something tackle, unlike you, Barnesy."
Right. Wayne Barnes was on touch, by the way, just to...
Wayne Barnes was running touch on this game, and clearly had... I assume, given this was the James Hook interception try, I assumed that Wayne Barnes made some kind of comment about Craig Joubert trying to keep up with the game and run into the post and whatever. And then Craig Joubert probably took it to heart and made, like, a really snide comment back to Wayne Barnes about being small or unable to tackle or unable to referee the tackle area or something like that. But I just thought it was funny seeing referees try and banter between each other.
It is a bit like seeing your teachers do it, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, I just thought that was worth mentioning. He's not going to be my dick of the day because of it, but, you know.
Fair enough. All right. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Well done, Craig Joubert. GG.
So, who is your dick of the day?
Ooh, I mean, this is a big, big question, because objectively I know there's one guy I could go for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I also know there's a bunch of people who are also rugby players. I mean, like, in contention, Louis Luttig.
I guess.
For being, like, one of the three players I knew properly going into this game, you know, like, reading that team sheet going, oh, Louis Luttig played. He played, went off 1 minute in. But he then also has to be a man of the match contention for allowing Frolic to play 79 minutes.
That's very true. Very unselfish of him.
So I can't really consider him for that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, objectively, you can make a call for Frolic for the fact... Especially because he makes a break down the wing at one point, and he also doesn't look where he passes, and he just chucks it randomly in field, and it just goes to floor.
Major Friday Night Social Touch vibes.
Absolutely. He's just excellent. I just love him. So it's not him. I think I feel slightly cruel for doing this, but for that first touch, that glorious, glorious first touch, it's the one and only Mr. James Hook.
Okay, yeah.
For getting smashed twice in the same tackle.
Twice in one carry, yeah. That's really, really funny. I think that's a really good shout. I think So I have Frolic written down for various reasons, but I think I have to give it to Killian for slapping the ball out of his own scrum hands into touch on a try-scoring opportunity for the opposition. I think that is not only stupid, but a really dickish thing to do. So I think Dick of the Day is an apt way to refer to Michael Killian for that intervention.
Fair enough. Okay, that's it. And Man of the Match, do you want to start?
Sure. Man of the Match. Basically the whole Lions back line.
Yeah.
Carney is brilliant. We've not kind of done it justice to how great he is in this game. I think he runs a lot of really good lines, and he always passes and kicks at exactly the right time. And he clearly saw how well Lee Byrne played against the Royal 15 and thought, right, I've got some competition here. And really, really pushed himself. Brian O'Driscoll, I think, was brilliant. But I think... And Jamie Roberts once again. Ugo Monya again. Mm. But I think I would be... it would be wrong if I didn't give it to Tommy Bowe.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two contenders here, really, right? One is Tommy Bowe, and the other is the Robert O'Driscoll axis. Not over those players themselves, the axis. Like, the joint nod of the two of them, which I'm very tempted to give it to.
I'm not going to let you do another joint Man of the Match.
No, exactly. It's a separate person. Robert O'Driscoll. Yeah. It's like Lennon McCartney, you know, which is a separate person to Paul McCartney and John Lennon. But because Tommy Bowe is a human being with a birth certificate, I'm going to have to give it to Thomas John
Bowe. For having a birth certificate.
Yeah, that's the only reason I've given it to him.
Yeah.
Because he actually exists.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. So, is that us? Is that us?
I believe so. That brings us through to the end of the second episode of the Squid Rugby World Cup retrospective, brought to you without anyone that played in this game.
It's not the World Cup retrospective in the second episode of that.
Did I say that?
Versus Romania,
Did I say that? The Squid Rugby Lions Tour retrospective without anyone that played in this game. And therefore, also in the rugby, is the third game of the Lions Tour from 2009. Which was against the Free State Cheetahs, if anyone to go and watch it. They're all on YouTube, all the games on YouTube. They were uploaded by one Mr. Juan Rugby. I want to thank Mr. Rugby and Juan as well. Mr. Rugby is obviously the god of rugby who allows us to do this.
Yeah. And I'd like to thank Earl Rose.
I'd like to thank the brave police officers who returned the golf clubs that Earl Rose was so cowardly stealing.
Yeah, that's true. Big up the boys in blue.
This does not represent any political opinions of the Squidge Rugby Lions Tour retrospective. Please go home and just go home. You know, just have a nice time. You know, enjoy wherever you live. And we will see you next time for the Free State Cheetahs. And we'll see. Hey, if they do any cheating.
Yeah. Oh, that would be banter if they did. But by the way, before we go, your name is Robbie Yorsk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rich, or whatever you want to call it.
Sure. And yours is...
Well, I mean, anyway, great. Bye.
Brilliant scenes. All right, see you. Bye.